So Safe's a bit busy at the moment, but that's right, because College Crosscast will roll on. I'm Ryan McD29, Ryan McDonald.
I'm Chris Remsky.
I'm Jake Nazar.
And we had a pretty wild and wacky weekend of college lacrosse where we have to pick up quite a few pieces. So let us reassemble it all on this edition of College Crosscast, where the unexpected becomes the ordinary. And welcome to College Crosscast. Hope you had really a nice week.
You slipped that Rothsteinism in there nicely. I'm proud of you.
Yes. I love it.
Well,
this is March.
For the last time.
Yes, this is March. And for a lot of teams, this past week was the epitome of brutality.
Folks, Ryan is rolling tonight.
Especially if you're in the Patriot League.
Oh my God.
College basketball was nowhere near as good this past weekend as it was the week prior, maybe save for Kansas Duke at the end. So we're not even going to talk about March Madness. We're going to dive right into news and notes with Chris. Chris, what are the news and notes in the world of lacrosse?
Well, we have some interesting news and some notes to discuss because that's why we have the segment. First reported by Marissa on our site, the New England Lacrosse Journal, then Inside Lacrosse. Judd Lattimore is apparently on administrative leave at Holy Cross for a lot of things that he did bad, especially running the team sprints at halftime against Brown, which was a total utter embarrassment for the Crusaders. Actually, the game after, it was two coaches, two of the assistants coached for the Quinnipiac game where they won by one. So maybe the post-Judd Lattimore era is going to be good for Holy Cross? We don't know, but they're also Holy Cross, so probably not. And then second, I've touched on this a lot, and people don't like me for it. Virginia Tech caught on a Snapchat video singing a verse that included the N-word, and it got a lot of social media steam. And yeah, right now the Virginia Tech head coach already addressed the issue on Monday. Not sure if what that means for the rest of the players. It didn't seem like it was in derogatory fashion, but it's something that is another kind of, you could say, tone-deaf kind of situation where, you know, they were dumb enough to not only record it, but also sing it, even though there's no African-Americans on the team as of now. But, yeah, just another kind of sad situation involving race and gender in the world of lacrosse. So, we wish it was a little bit happier, but sadly it is not. That is your news and notes for this week.
Another bad week for lacrosse, everybody.
Woo!
Yeah, not great news, but I mean, obviously, there's some uncomfortable talks to be had, but we gotta have them in the world of lacrosse if we ever want to progress a bit as a sport. To say the least.
We're the sport of the future, and we want to grow the game, like some people like
and
to say.
And shake off that.
This doesn't.
And shake off the rich white stereotype.
Yes. Yeah, we shouldn't be saying this kind of stuff. Or
we've
having
said
this
it,
kind
I mean,
of stuff.
We've said it a million times. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of these days we'll learn, or we won't.
Don't worry, we got another Dom Starja
profile.
Coming soon.
I mean, we got another profile of him over the weekend, so only time for before he writes another op-ed. Fantastic! Wow. So let's move on to brighter stuff, which is the games.
Please.
Because we had a lot of good ones. Usually when we have a lot of good ones, stupid stuff happens. Speaking of Dom Starja, so Virginia, they first off, how many days has it been since they won an ACC lacrosse game?
It has been 1,487 days since Virginia last won an ACC game.
Okay, so Virginia in the first half starts the game on fire and goes up 9-1 against Johns Hopkins.
I think it was 8-1 and 9-2.
8-1-9-2. We were thinking, hey, we could maybe print 18-7 t-shirts in Virginia colors, too. In the end, Virginia blows a 9-2 lead and loses to Johns Hopkins 15-13.
God bless Johns Hopkins University.
Don't say stuff that we'll later regret, Chris. We'll cover that game in a second. Let's just rack up a couple other scores. Holy Cross, in all that turmoil, pulls off a win against Quinnipiac, 14-13 in Connecticut. So the Crusaders in turmoil, but get a win out of it. So we'll see on that end. St. Joe's beats Hobart 6-5 in NEC play. So something Philly. Vermont gets back in the right direction and gets their first America East win in a 10-6 home victory over Binghamton. And in what began a common theme on Saturday, the Patriot League gets flipped completely on its head and everything is a mess. Colgate 8, Army 6. Big win for the Red Raiders. Bad loss for Army. That sends Army to 2-2 in the Patriot League there. And then one other score we'll touch on. Actually, we'll touch on three others before we rack up these games. Detroit Mercy beats Monmouth 9-8 in MAAC play. That one went to overtime.
Because of meeting, and I will always love you.
Thank God he's eating. In SoCon action...
Someone get this man food every week.
Yes. In SoCon action, Jacksonville beats Bellarmine 9-5 in Duval. And Furman beats VMI 11-7. So, Virginia's huge blown lead. And Hopkins, big comeback. And going from a 9-2 deficit. And then, I don't think Virginia scored again until after Hopkins took a lead.
No, Virginia, Hopkins scored 6 in a row, then the Cavs scored 2 in a row, and then Hopkins basically had they had a 6-goal run, and I'm pretty sure they had a 7-goal run in here at two different points of the second half. At one point, I believe this game was 15-11, which means Hopkins had outscored Virginia 13-2 in the second half at one point. I don't really know what to say about this one for the Hoos. It's not an ACC game, you know, so they're still alive in that sense. But Virginia has had 3 games left coming into this week with chances for, you know, quality Ws. This one would have been a big one. Mm-hmm. This one honestly might have gotten them in the NCAA tournament. I don't know that to be true for sure, but it might have. And they just blew this. I don't know. It feels like it's a broken record with them. I could say that they turn it over too much, but I don't think that was the big thing. I could say they don't play enough good defense, but their defense is pretty... I mean, it's... Their defense, I think, honestly gets a nice... you know, boost because it beats up on bad teams, but they've given up 12 to Loyola and 15 to Princeton and 15 to Hopkins and 12 to Syracuse. You know, I mean, the offense went cold, which is really the more shocking thing. The big thing for me, I guess, if there's one thing to like decipher where this really all went wrong, is that for Lars Tiffany's system and for Virginia, they need to win ground balls. They have to own ground balls. Mm-hmm. And at one point in the fourth quarter, Hopkins had won all but one ground ball. It was like 15-1 in ground balls in the fourth quarter. And if Virginia's not winning ground balls, they're not going to win games. I mean, that's true for every team, really. But especially when you play the system they do, where you put the ball on the floor a lot and where you try to pressure so you can get the other team to put the ball on the floor a lot. When you do that, you got to win those ground balls. And if you're getting out ground ball 15-1, I mean, for any team, but especially for them, That's lights out.
Yeah, and I believe Virginia actually, for every practice, they do a ground ball drill. So that kind of doesn't...
I would hope a college D1 college lacrosse team would do ground ball drills in practice.
Yeah, they might need to do more of them. But yeah, looking at their box score, Aiken, Laviano, and Michael Krause. Krause getting the bulk of it with 2 and 5, and then Dotch with just 6 Genos. That was all their multi-goal scores. You had, besides Krause's five assists, the other assists came from Jared Connors, Will Rock, both LSMs, and then Scott Hooper, defenseman. Other than Krause, you probably should get other guys dishing out the ball a little bit more. Yeah, and I know Krause is a very fantastic player, and he's definitely one of the top 10 attackmen in the country. But I don't get this Virginia team. And this probably – I think Jake, when you said like – or Ryan, I forget who said it. I think Jake might have said it, that this win, if they beat Hopkins, they would have been in the NCAA tournament. I think this loss maybe takes them out of it.
It might.
They have Richmond on Saturday, so that might be a big tell-all.
Yeah, I mean, they should win that game. No, I think this team is – I mean, like, I think people are going to bring up the loss of Ryan Conrad, and it matters. Yeah, I'm not saying it does. It matters a lot. He's such a fantastic, phenomenal player. Would have been a first-team All-American if he was still playing. But losing one guy should not change your team this much.
No.
You lose one guy and it just should not change your team to this degree. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, you look at their scores, you know, Matt Moore, you know, he's a freshman, so he'll get better, but he does not strike me as a guy who really can. Like, if you put a shorty on him, I don't think he can beat your shorty. Mike DeMario was awesome last year. Last year he dropped 32 goals and 11 assists. This year he's got 13-2. So he's not performing up anywhere near to the standard that they've expected of him. You know, Mikey Herring, he's an attackman who's got some feeding ability. He's got 11 assists on the year. But he's a guy who's a junior. You know, he's kind of coming out of, you know, hasn't really played a lot of his first years. So, yeah, I mean, like, Hopkins basically in this game allowed Krause to, like, Krause had 5 assists and he put up 7 points. We had a great day, but Hopkins was fine with that. They were fine with him feeding the ball. They just didn't want him to beat them. And so in the second half, I think they made that adjustment. It was, you know, with Pat Foley, it's like, if he's going to feed it to other guys, fine. But just do not let him beat us. And at this point, I think if you can do that, and if you can, you know, prevent Krause from just, you know, completely taking over a game by himself, Docs, obviously, is the other guy you got to watch out for, and they didn't stop Docs at any point in this game. Mm-hmm. But beside that, if you can find a way to, you know, prevent Krause from getting a bunch of goals, you know, and kind of stop Docs, yeah, you're really just, it's really just Laviano. That's the only guy you really got to worry about.
I think for Hopkins, this is also a great point for their Big Ten play, because they do have a lot of talented attackmen that they have to face coming up. Joel Sendenberg mm-hmm. won him with Rutgers, and that'll be a big game because that's at Rutgers, and that's, I believe, Sunday night lacrosse.
Yep.
We have
yep.
back. God bless April.
Yes, this is March, but it ain't no April.
No, it is not even close to being April. And then quickly, I guess we can touch on Army losing. Yikes. And they kind of had something like this last year where all of a sudden they looked like they might have made might be making the tournament. But then you have some of these games, like Lehigh wasn't good last year, 6-4. Colgate, 10-8. Bucknell, 11-10. BU, 11-10. These close wins in Patriot League play. And now this year it's kind of starting to bite them back a little bit with Lehigh losing by 2. Holy Cross, which was ick. 5-3 win. And then Colgate was an 8-6 loss. They should be a good team. Nate Jones came back for this game, and he wasn't there for Holy Cross. But I guess the Patriot League is a dog-eat-dog kind of conference and a really bad one to play if you're, like, a really good team.
Yeah, it's I chalk it more up to the Patriot League just loves to eat itself up. I say it all the time.
It does, but we looked at Army. At least I did. You know, I liked the team so much as they obviously played great defense. But at the beginning of the year, they were putting in goals. They scored 9 goals against Rutgers, and Rutgers is a good defense. They scored 10 against Syracuse, and Syracuse isn't a great defense, but still. You know, they put 13 past Lafayette, also 18 past UMass, and 14 past – that UMass one actually beaten by 12 was kind of good. But their last 3 games, they scored 7, 5, and 6. Yeah. I don't care what conference you're playing in. That's bad. You're averaging 6 goals in your last 3 games. including five to a Holy Cross team that was, you know, on the brink of falling apart a week later. That's not good. And now Army's 2-2 in Patriot League play, and that means they'd be on the sixth.
Yeah, and they don't have an easy game up ahead either because they got Bucknell next week.
I mean, they got Bucknell. They got to go on the road to BU and Loyola. They should beat BU, but it's still a road game. And they got Navy at home. You know what? Navy's 4-1 in Patriot League play. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I like this Army team. They play great defense. They really do, you know, as they always do. They've always been a very good defensive team. They are second in adjusted defensive efficiency in the country. But when your offense is not – but no, they're second in adjusted defensive efficiency. But on offense, they're – I'm assuming they're – I'll pull it up in a second. I'm assuming they're way further down there. Yeah, second in – on offense, they are 51st. So second in adjusted – the second – they have the best defense in the Patriot League. But – their offense is worse than BU in the Patriot League, for example. It's also worse than Lehigh. And, I mean, if you're 15 spots worse than Lehigh in offense efficiency and you've seen Lehigh play offense, you've got problems.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's – yeah, I mean, the Patriot League eats itself alive to an extent. I mean, well, obviously, not to an extent. It obviously does. But I think it's just because it's a byproduct of just – they have a lot of flawed teams in this conference. And so that's like the thing. It's not like, you know, like when the Big Ten, you know, like where Hopkins could, like one of Hopkins or Rutgers could win this week but lose the next because it's a gauntlet. I think it's a case of you just have so many flawed teams stacked together that, you know, it's going to prevent anyone from racking up, you know, wins and getting on a roll.
The Patriot League, the home of really good flawed lacrosse.
speaking of which, you figured, okay, Loyola's the one steady hand in the Patriot League. Bucknell 12, Loyola 11. The Patriot League eats itself up. Reality is an illusion. The universe is a hologram. Bye, gold. Bye. That was for your 1987 sucks. But yes, Bucknell beats Loyola. 12-11. Cuckoo, cuckoo.
I just want to say I love this Bucknell team for this reason.
Yeah.
Will Sands has 17 goals and 34 assists, which is phenomenal. Baby. The next two highest scoring players on Bucknell's team have one assist. Connor O'Hara and Sean O'Brien have a combined 49 goals and one assist because Will Sands is just feeding them over and over and over and over again. that's just hilarious how you got one guy who's, I mean, both of them are good players. You know, you're scoring 20 goals. Those are good numbers. But, I mean, no, Will Sands, he had a big day. He outplayed Pat Spencer in this game. And Bucknell is a senior Latin team. Yeah. Sands, O'Hara, and O'Brien, all those guys are seniors. Top defenseman's a senior. They've got some experience. You know, they've kind of been knocking on the door the last couple of years. You know, kind of been hanging around. But this is a big win for them. You know, they're 4-1. They're up there, you know, top in the Patriot League, and you know, of course, they got to go to Army next week, so they'll probably lose based on how this conference works. But
yep.
And you know, no, they've got something going.
And we won't spoil it, but Loyola was undefeated. Now they're not. There's another team that was undefeated. Will they remain undefeated in Patriot League? You'll probably know by now. But if you rely on us for lacrosse scores, and I don't know why you would, stay tuned. Bit delayed if you're relying on us. Elsewhere, yeah. Robert Morris keeps their hot streak going in NEC play, 15-5 over Mount St. Mary's. Bryant beats Sacred Heart 16-7. How about UMass? The Minutemen putting together a pretty nice season, and they rack up a big non-con win, 14-12 over Brown. So good win for the Minutemen on the road in Providence. And Yale doubles up Princeton 16-8, so Yale continues to solidify themselves as top of the Ivy, whereas Princeton now in an 0-2 hole to start Ivy League play.
Saves upset pick last week.
Yep, so much for that. At least he didn't rank them like 20. Yale.
Hey, he got him on the poll on his first try this week. Or no, second
actually,
try this
actually,
week.
Actually, he didn't.
He did
second
not.
Second week in a row.
He was a little bit more generous this week.
I wonder if he got denied from Yale, and that's why he hates him. He probably got denied from Yale.
You applied to Yale Law School, and the rest is history. Same with Duke. BU beats Lafayette 12-8, so the Terriers get their first Patriot League win and keep their Patriot League tournament hopes sort of alive. Also an Ivy League play. CORNELL, the Big Red, 20-13 winners over Penn on the road, soothing off all the letdown of the hockey team being a one seed in their region and losing for the upteenth time in a row. But the Big Red looked very impressive against the Quakers and really establishing themselves as a threat in the Ivy League, even though they had the loss to Yale. Come tournament time, that might be different, and their offense is really chugging along. We'll just rack up a couple few other scores real quick.
Ryan, speaking of teams that are number one seeds that fall early in tournaments.
Oh, the one that the same school that hasn't won an ACC lacrosse game in
1,487 days.
No, I was referring to Hofstra and Seth Tierney with their game against St. John's. I thought you were going to go right to that game, but failed completely.
When was the last time they were the number one seed in the conference? I don't even know.
2014?
Were they? I don't know.
Were they last year?
The joke was supposed to be they're really good in their conference, and they just always fall flat.
All right, so St. John's 9, Hofstra 8 in the LIA Derby. So St. John's, another team quietly putting together a pretty solid season there. Red Storm with the victory and Nassau Queens bragging rights in that one. In SoCon play, Richmond beats High Point 15-12. In Big East play, Georgetown is dead. Long live Georgetown. Marquette 9, Georgetown 8 in overtime.
And I will always love you.
And, yeah, so good rebound win for Marquette. But at the same time, Georgetown is now on to a two-game losing streak with Denver up next. Womp womp.
Denver, Loyola, and Villanova. 3 out of the next 4 after you just lost to Drexel on Marquette.
Wompity womp womp.
R.I.P. in peace, Georgetown season.
I can't believe they got me again this year. I told myself I wouldn't let them get me.
And they got you. Canisius beat Siena 13-12 in a battle of the throughway. So, good one for the Griffs there. Marist beats Manhattan in the Metro-North Hudson Line Derby, 12-4. So the Red Foxes, that is their second win of the season, correct? Yeah, second win of the season. And that's crucial, though, because that's an MAAC win, so they are now 1-1 there. That's going to be important for their conference tournament hopes. In the American East, Stony Brook has a home victory over Hartford 10-8. And in non-con play, Penn State beats Cleveland State 16-5. So we kind of alluded to this when we were chatting before the show, but the Big Red's offense, it's a Big Red machine.
Oh, it might be the best offense in the country.
Yeah.
They're second in goals per game. They're second in adjusted offensive efficiency. They've got Teats, obviously just such a monster. Jake McCulloch's a great midfielder. Carl Patterson's a great attackman. They play, you know, they got like 6 or 7 or 8 dudes. They play, they go deep. This team is, it really makes you put into, it really impresses you, you know, what the job, like a Penn State, you know, we kind of rag on Penn State a bit. Penn State held Cornell to 9 goals. That's pretty darn good. You know, but yeah, I mean, this team is, this is a monster. I mean, on offense at the moment. And they got Dartmouth next. They should pound them. And they go 2 games in 3 days against Harvard and Syracuse. I mean, that's a case where, I mean, if this Cornell team can go into those 3 games, I mean, I don't think they're going to win both of them. But if they won both of them, I mean, we're talking about a complete change in how we felt about Cornell, you know, I don't know, even just a couple weeks ago. I mean, that could totally change our season. I'd really put them in the conversation for the tournament, maybe even in a driver's seat for an at-large bid. Yeah, I mean, this team is, they can just chug it on offense, and they've got a really good goalie too.
And now,
yeah, I mean, that's a good combination to have. If you've got an offense like that and you've got a goalie like that, you've got something threatening.
Well, Ryan, I have a recommendation for the next time we mention Cornell on this podcast, which will probably be next week. We mentioned them as the Big Red Machine and play Kane's old theme music.
Yes.
Well, we do have an opportunity a little later, because they did, in fact, play today, so we can break that out.
Maybe. I'll figure out a way to Photoshop Jeff Teat's head on Kane as well. But I think, and I cannot believe this is actually real, and it's realer thanks to what happened on Saturday, too, with another team, that the Syracuse game might actually really matter.
Ryan's one shining moment.
Right. Yes.
Look, I mean, Dartmouth win. Harvard will be interesting compared to seeing how Harvard is somehow, like, good.
7-1
They have 7-1 Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they win
I mean,
games, they have Syracuse.
They'll be 7-3 going into Syracuse.
Yeah, and if they beat Syracuse and Lehigh, that's 9-3 with some very good wins in the mix. Penn State, Syracuse, Lehigh, and Harvard could be pretty good too.
And with how the bubble is, they could sneak their way in. Thanks to
if they beat Harvard and Syracuse, again, like I said, you know, the other, like 2 minutes ago, they're in the driver's seat, I think. I think you put those two wins up there and you beat, you know,
you might even be able to survive a Lehigh loss. Like, the Colgate loss doesn't really hurt them too badly right now. And I mean, granted, that's also because the Ivy League starts later than everybody else, et cetera, but I mean, they're in pretty good shape where, you know, they can afford, even, you know, you don't want to do it, but if you have a slip up against Lehigh or Brown at the end of the season, it might be a little bit okay because you have some wins to back you up your resume. And I think at this stage, your quality wins are going to add up more than bad losses.
Yeah, maybe.
With the way the bubble's looking.
I'd love to see them get another crack at Yale in the Ivy tournament.
Yeah,
I think I think they're better than Yale per se. I think Yale's better, but I just think, you know, those two teams played in March. You know, and I think if you got those teams playing, you know, 6 weeks later, you know, with the offenses really chugging, yeah, I think you could have something.
And on top of that,
really going there.
On top of that, remember what could also be on the horizon. Speaking of rematches, remember the NCAA tournament likes to go by geography. That might open up Albany in the first round, and could you imagine those two?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, that'd be crazy. But I mean, A, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But B, I mean, I guess if Albany fell to like a 3 or a 4, assuming Albany like lost the game somewhere between here and there, I guess it's possible. But yeah, totally possible. But I'm assuming, you know, like, I don't think Cornell would go to like 1 seed Albany. Like, that'd be kind of unfair.
No.
Yeah, no, you can't because the play-in game.
Yeah, or even 2 seed Albany, I feel like that'd just be a little unfair. But again, we're getting too far ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
But I mean, just again,
well, I mean,
just
they sent Yale to 2 seed Syracuse last year, though.
That's true.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they did.
They sent Yale to 2 seed
Syracuse.
Oh,
you're right. I thought you said Albany for a second, and I just kind of confused.
No, that was...
But no, I mean, just the fact that we're having this conversation about Cornell, and it, you know, it creates an interesting dilemma when you consider the fact that this team still has an interim head coach.
Who will probably be the permanent head coach by the time the season's over.
Well, Cornell did this last time.
Yeah.
Where they had the interim head coach do well in year one, or that's the interim, and they decided to get the job without doing a head coaching search, and it left them, you know, in this position where they are now. So, not to take anything away from the job Pete Milliman's done, it's been very good, and, you know, the offense is phenomenal, but it's, you know, I don't know, I just worry, you know, if you get yourself in this trap again where, you know, I mean, you just look at the talent that team has. Teat's a sophomore, you know, they got freshman Donville Piatelli, you know, you got a lot of guys there. I just think this could be, you know, it's not the job it was maybe 10 years ago, but it's still Cornell. I just worry, you know, if you put this job up on the market with, you know, Jeff Teat running that show, I think you get some interest. And so I worry if, you know, again, not that Pete Millen hasn't done a great job, but just that, you know, if you just hand it off immediately, if, you know, again, the tournament, instead of, you know, opening up your options, I think he should absolutely be in the conversation no matter what. I think you put him on your list of names, whoever that list may be. But I just, again, it's, yeah, I mean, they were in this spot a couple years ago, and it led them to, you know, having to make their coaching change.
Righty. In ACC play, the Syracuse Orange, you know, not a great stretch. Everybody's starting to call for Desco's heads on the Syracuse.com comment section. They go to Duke. Duke looking real good. And the night before, the Syracuse basketball team lost to Duke, so a little doom and gloom. Syracuse comes around and plays probably their best game of the season and come away with a 15-14 win over Duke. Go figure. Blast the Taylor Swift, even though I'm not going to do it for that because knowing Taylor Swift's reputation on copyrights and stuff, I'm not blasting that out on the podcast. But a very good win for Syracuse, and the Orange lock up an ACC tournament spot, 2-0 in the ACC, and really gives them a good boost for their at-large hopes. Mercer beats Air Force in the SoCon 9-7. In Ivy League play, Harvard beats Dartmouth 10-8. A little bit dicey for the Crimson, but they come away with the victory regardless. And over in Denver, we had a good non-con one, as Denver thinks they win at the buzzer, but then gets it waved off. But then in overtime, Trevor Baptiste does Trevor Baptiste things. Denver wins the faceoff and wins it in overtime, 11-10. I hope you're still eating.
And
damn
no!
it, he's not eating.
No.
We'll always love you.
Also, non-con play, Michigan beats noted MLL Factory and NCAA basketball darling UMBC by a score of 9-6. Or if you're reading it, like if we were in Europe, it would read a nice 6-9.
Nice.
And in the Patriot League eating itself up. Okay, so if Loyola lost, that means Lehigh is going to be the last remaining undefeated team in the Patriot League. Looking pretty good to solidify their number one spot in the Patriot League, right?
Yeah, about that.
Yes. Navy 10, Lehigh 7. The Midshipmen are now in a three-way tie atop the Patriot League. At 4-1, there's four teams in this 9-team conference at one loss. My God, the Patriot League.
Who doesn't love it?
Fans
Navy
of the Patriot,
is
fans
one,
of Patriot League.
Navy is one, and they're Navy is 1-3 out of conference, and 4-1 in Patriot League play.
God bless
this
conference.
This conference is just delightfully
devilish.
Stupid.
Delightfully devilish, Patriot League.
I don't even... I mean, you knew okay, they scored 7 goals and Lehigh's offense is not good and you thought it would kind of catch up to them at some point, but, like, Navy scored 3 goals against Penn. You know? They come out here and score 10 goals against Lehigh. Now, Ryan Kern had a great day. He stood on his head. You know, and now this Navy team they're very odd. You know, they lost 2 in a row. They lost Jacksonville and Maryland to start the year. And they beat UMBC, BU. Navy beat Bucknell by 5 goals. I put it this way, Navy beat Bucknell by 5 and lost to Loyola by 6. And Bucknell beat Loyola at Ridley.
Jesus.
And again, Navy beat Lehigh and Bethlehem.
Yes. I don't understand this conference. And I never will.
Before we discuss actual lacrosse again, it's a shame Chris's delightfully devilish comment.
Yes.
It's a shame Colgate and Albany didn't play, because Colgate's the closest D1 school to Utica. We could have made a steam hams.
Ah!
I'm from Utica, and I've never heard of it. No, it's more of an Albany expression.
Ah.
But back to the lacrosse.
Seymour!
Seymour, the house is on fire. No, it's just the Northern Lights.
How many people have just turned us off now?
Yeah. Well, the good news is Syracuse and Duke and Denver Towson brought the drama.
Thank God. Thank God for Syracuse. By the way, shout out Liam Banks for deciding to drive up 5.5 hours from Atlanta just to talk to us. And then right after that, driving 5.5 hours back. That's dedication and craziness from a Syracuse alum. and a nice Syracuse alum too. As for the game itself, this young, inexperienced, I don't even want to say inexperienced anymore because they've already had seven games under their belt. This young Syracuse team grew up a lot in that game. Curry, yeah, with his 2-1. Steven Reifus looked like an actually good quarterback of the Syracuse offense. Von Berry looked like a finisher.
Steven Reifus has the most points on Syracuse's team. And every week, you're just out here just burying him. Just breaking out the shovel.
Well, first Christine, now Reifus. I don't know. Did he hit you in practice? Did an Aaron shot hit you in practice from him or something? And
no, he actually
did he steal your girl?
Did he beat you in an NHL tournament?
No, actually, he still hasn't played me yet, and I'm still waiting for that challenge.
Oh, there we go. That's why I have a grudge. He hasn't played
the NHL
yet.
No. He's actually the first one that actually heard my podcast, and when I picked us to lose to Army, he got like, so there you go.
Well, thank you for listening, Steven.
Thank you, Steven.
Anyways, Trimboli had two goals, and he's once again a Duke killer. Pat Carlin somehow had a good game as the redshirt junior midfielder, 1-1.
Somehow. I love how this is the actual video manager of the team. You are doing this entirely for practice banter. We see right through you, Chris.
But wait, no. I am also a non-biased lacrosse writer and blogger and columnist and talking head, whatever. Damadon is also a really good goalie. Once again, we saw that. And I'm really surprised at how Nick Mellon did against Justin Gutterding with 1-2 for the senior. This could be peak Syracuse if they play like this the entire year.
I mean, that is a big if, but one very encouraging thing with this, when Duke was making their comeback and getting they took a lead in the second half, the past couple of games with Hopkins and Rutgers, Syracuse wilted away. But Syracuse's fortitude really showed in this game. It kind of reminds me, unfortunately, of Tottenham, where a big game they lose their fortitude, but then another big game they get it back, so it's a little bit better. But the good news is that this is, unlike Tottenham, this is still fairly early on in the season and still time to grow and getting into the meat of this schedule. So it's good to see. I really liked how Syracuse took the lessons. They've learned a lesson from the humbling games against Hopkins and Rutgers to not let the game get away from them, because that's what's led to some embarrassing score lines, is that they let the game get away from them and let the other team go on big runs. So in this instance, I think the fight back ability by Syracuse was really what was on display here. And if, as you said, the big if Syracuse plays like this, they could definitely turn this season around really in a hurry. And, I won't say get into the national title conversation. I think it's still a little too crowded at the top for that, but could really, turn this into something really good.
Syracuse is one win away from winning the ACC regular season.
Somehow.
Seriously, they, beat Virginia, beat Duke, beat Notre Dame. You're 3-0. And that would give you, unless North Carolina does something, completely unexpected and absurd, that would win you the ACC. What a time to be alive.
Who needs non-con when you got ACC play?
Yeah. Also good news on Syracuse's front. When they play Notre Dame, they're not honoring a team from the past, so we're not expecting a 10-goal blowout loss, hopefully.
Just wait, knowing SU Athletics track record, Thursday evening they're going to come out at 4:30. We're honoring the 2013 Final Four team. Or the 2011 number one seed team or something like that.
No, I mean, they got a lot of contributions from a lot of guys. And that matters. Again, I said I was worried about the fact they didn't have a number one true attack, and I still am. I still think that's something that I think they need to find.
Yeah.
But when you play this many, they played a lot of guys, and all those guys in some way contributed. And when that happens, you know, you're going to have, you have a chance to make up for that. You can, you know, make up for the lack of a one obvious guy. You know, when they got, look, Nate Solomon made some big plays late in the game. You know, it's sort of what, you know, like a by committee approach. And that's something, you know, that is difficult, that can, you know, that can go badly for you when things go wrong. But they had things cooking and in that game, and the guys stepped up. And, you know, I mean, they had six guys score had multiple points. You know, Bomber had four, Rafis had two and three, Curry had two and one, Trimboli had two, including, again, he made some big plays late. Salma had one and one, big plays late. Carlin had one and one. So, yeah, different guys made big plays at the right time. And so, yeah, this was something encouraging that, you know, they can build off of going forward. Again, it's difficult. It's a difficult approach to have when you don't have one obvious guy at the top. But, I mean, they have talent. These guys have skills. As I said, you know, it's not like they're not a talented group. And they're young, and so, you know, you get some energy coming off of that. And yeah, you know, we'll see how they do next week against Notre Dame. That's, you know, a big test. It's, you know, they put together the wins against Army and Virginia back to back, but, you know, then they lost to Hopkins and Rutgers badly. So this is a test for them now. It's, you know, can you really start to, you know, put it together, you know, over a more prolonged period of time.
Now, as for Duke, this is an interesting case because we felt that Duke was looking pretty good, but at the same time, not looking themselves the past couple of games. The Towson game we kind of chalked up to. They're going up against Captain Nadal, and strange things happen. But there's a couple of flaws that have popped out at Duke. I mean, they could still score, but not exactly the greatest defensive game against Syracuse that might come back to bite them later on in the season.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the worries me. I point this out a lot. This, when you have games where only one side of the ball is working, and then the next week comes and you get that side of the ball working, but the other side falls apart, that's not the sign of a great team. They scored 19 goals combined that weekend against Towson and Cleveland State, but they gave up 11, and so the defense, you know, bailed them out. They come back here against Syracuse, and the offense works. They put on 14. But the defense gives up 15. That worries me. You know, like, the defense is great. It's, I believe, they're number one in adjusted defensive efficiency. But, you know, now they give up, you know, 15 to a Syracuse team that was, you know, looking poor against, you know, Rutgers and Hopkins. And so that's the thing that worries me for this Duke team. You know, these, it doesn't feel like, you know, a vintage Donowski title team. You know, and I know people are going to be like, because we do this with Duke all the time, that somehow when Duke loses, you know, it's like, it's a good thing. Like, everyone else loses, and it's a bad thing, but Duke loses, and it's like, you know, oh, Donowski. He really wanted to lose that game, actually. You know, but, you know, yeah, I don't know. It just, that's the kind of stuff that concerns me when, you know, you can't really put it all together. And so far this year, against the tough competition, you know, they've only really put it together for me for, like, the Loyola game. You know, like, you know, the Denver game, that kind of came back, you know, late in that game. But they still, you know, Denver's offense kind of, you know, found to poke some holes in it. And Denver's offense is not a, you know, vintage Denver unit. Then the Penn game, they did not play well on offense, even though the defense played well. Loyola game feels like the one game this year against a top opponent where they really put it together. And so that's the thing is, you know, once you start getting into April and May, it's time where you have to get both sides of the ball rolling. And if, you know, one week the offense is good and the next week the defense isn't good, you know, you're going to get bit by that.
I, for one, cannot wait for CAA captain ball to begin. That is
me too.
Captain ball. I really don't have a lot to say because we were playing this while they were playing, but I was following along in our DMs because Captain Ball was in full effect. At first, I actually thought Towson got the disallowed goal to win the game, but I actually found out it was Denver, so that made myself a little bit better about the result, but kind of wish Towson got that big win over Denver and probably would have been the greatest under 500 team entering conference play in the history of lacrosse. They still might be
500. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah,
they're like the best 3-5 team in the country.
Yeah, I was actually considering ranking them, but I realized on the principle of ranking a 3-5 team, like maybe not. But come Colonial play, they're being pretty good. They're, I mean, they are 3-5, but. They don't have any. They don't have a single bad loss. Maybe Georgetown's not as good anymore. But I mean, like in the five CAA games, I put my money on Towson on every one of them.
Yeah, they're getting it rolling. It's getting there. You know, you look. You got to give Nadlin time. His teams do not peak early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really don't.
And I mean,
the defense didn't look.
Mm-hmm. And they played three games in a row against top tier talent, and they got it. They're 1-2, but all games either win or the biggest loss was 2 against Duke, and the other's an overtime game, and they look like they could have beat Duke or Denver.
They played their way, and that's what matters. Is that that's what they do is they inflict their will and their way of playing on you. You know they're not gonna play when they're at their best. Like the Hopkins game was an example of it. They played Hopkins game. You know they weren't able to inflict their will on Hopkins, and they played Hopkins game, and that's what came back. You know to bite them. But against Ohio State, you know, sort of like, you know, in the national championship or the semifinals last year in the Final Four, you know, Ohio State was the one, you know, who kind of, you know, showed their muscle and showed they were kind of willing to play Towson's game. And Towson, you know, got the better of them this time. And against Duke and Denver, you know, they inflicted their will and they played their style of lacrosse. And did they win? No. But if they can get that going, and they, you know, they look, there is no one in the CAA, in my opinion, to win. Towson is playing the way they like to play, and it's playing mean and playing physical. Who can stop them? You know, it's not going to be pretty all the time, and they don't want it to be. But yeah, if they are inflicting their will upon, you know, some of these other teams who are not as physical as they are and who are not as mean as they are, because look, Towson comes for a fight, and you better come ready to, you know, square up. Then yeah, I think, you know, they're in good shape.
If they win the rest of the way, and come Selection Sunday, when we're waiting for the result of the Syracuse-Cornell game, would they be a playing game, possibly? Or would that... Well, actually...
No.
I think the MAC is a lock. I'm thinking either the CAA or the NEC with Robert Morris.
If it's Bryant who wins the NEC...
Yes,
and it's probably the NEC.
Yeah, if Robert Morris keeps it up in their RPI and SOS stay high, then I can see Towson
trucking.
Yeah,
Towson could. I mean, it happened to Towson a couple of years ago, the 2015, and I believe 2016. Both those years, they went to playing games, so it's not out of the question.
But also remember, 2015 and 2016 had four teams go to playing games. So remember,
that's true. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's an interesting question. The thing is, our strength of schedule is so good, or will be, I presume, by the end of the year, that they should probably be bailed out by it, or be, you know, bailed out from playing in that playing game. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see.
All right, we'll wrap up Saturday's slate. Villanova beats Fairfield 13-12. That's right. Villanova survives a scare against Fairfield 13-12 in overtime. So, Villanova with a... perilous situation, but they take care of business there and survive a huge scare by the Stags. In the Gothels Bridge Derby, or maybe Outer... Gothels Bridge Derby.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Staten Island and Newark are right by each other. I was just figuring out which was the... closest bridge from Staten Island, New Jersey. Outer Bridge Crossing Derby would be with Monmouth or Rutgers, but Gothel's Bridge would be with NJIT in Newark.
Continue.
But Wagner wins 7-5. Wagner. Rutgers avenges their loss to Delaware last year by beating them 15-10, so the Scar Knights continue their hot stretch with another solid victory there. The Scarlet Knights are now on a 3-game winning streak after their overtime loss to Princeton. Albany remains the last undefeated team in the nation with a 13-6 victory over UMass Lowell. And in sunny Southern California, in Saturday night lacrosse on YouTube, though the comment section was nowhere near as good as it has been in past years, Maryland this year. I know. I was let down by that, especially with two fan bases that I feel like would make a lot of noise on the lax power boards. But regardless, Maryland wins 11-7 over UNC. So the Terps keep on terping.
Yeah, UNC sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that, you know, like, the media voters decided not to put UNC at 20 or anywhere ranked.
Hopefully they weren't ranked number 11 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like lacrosse is bumping up to sell a television show, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely not happening. Not at all.
Yeah. Nope.
No.
Well, I don't know what you mean. Yeah. I mean, at least you're not 20
another
either.
Week. Another week. They haven't scored more than 10 goals 4 weeks in a row. 6 against Denver, 6 against South Shore, 10 against Richmond, 7 against Maryland. That's their problem. You know, they can't score goals. And that feels like, I mean...
And the objective of lacrosse is you got to score more goals than the other team.
Score some goals. Yeah, I don't know. You know, they got... Like, Cloutier... Like, they had a weird dynamic. Cloutier's got 25 goals, but he's a scorer. He's not going to feed. Andy Matthews got 19 assists, but he's only got 4 goals. You know, and so, like, that's not a bad dynamic. You know, you got one guy who can score and the one guy who feeds. But you need, like, that's too big of an imbalance. You know, if one guy's got 4 goals and 19 assists, you know he's not going to beat you to the cage. And if one guy's got 25 goals and 6 assists, well, you know he's not going to give up the rock. So, you know, when you've got that much of an imbalance, it makes you easier to guard for teams. And then you look down their lineup and... Yeah, I don't know. You know, they got guys, you know, they got 6 guys who have scored 16 or more points. Granted, that's in like 10 games. So, you know, you're not really getting out there. But yeah, just they're not, I don't know, you know, they're not they're bad players, you know, but it's when you look at UNC teams just in years past with Bitter and Sankey and Tutton and Ponchrello, you know, I mean, you really could go down the lineup and find, you know, just stacked offensive talent. And this year, it's just not here. And, you know, now, I mean, and on defense, you know, the defensive results look better, but that's because they're cowards and they play the zone. So...
I have Omani, you know, Jones.
Yeah, you know, so, like, they, you know, they make the score totals look nicer because, you know, they're cowards and they play the zone, but the problem is they don't have a face-off guy. So, if you play zone... And you don't have a face-off guy, how are you going to get the ball? I mean, Maryland just sucked the... I mean, this is not a case of Maryland playing slow. Is that? But when you play zone, the other team's going to have the ball for minutes at a time. You know, and they're just going to, you know, take the air out of the ball. And so, and that was the story of this game. UNC would let Maryland have the ball for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes at a time. Maryland would score. Then Maryland would win a face-off because Justin Chalky won, like, was 16-20. So UNC never had the ball. Again, that's not... I mean, look, they're kind of... Brescia's, I guess, is working with what he's got. But, you know, just everything about this UNC team right now, just from the tactics to the players that got out there, just it looks bad.
Yeesh. Well, their road isn't easier. They're at two. They host Virginia. Honestly, at this point, I'd rather see you as much as I love the streak. I would rather... You know what?
No, you want UNC to beat Virginia and then lose the...
You know? Like, I want UNC to die a death, but I the streak is too good. Like, we got to get to, like, 1,500 days.
I want to see a 2-1 UNC win over Virginia.
All this...
They get crushed in the streak. They get crushed in the ACC tournament, and Virginia and UNC don't make it, and then we're all happy.
Like, we're at 1,487 days, and I want to get to 1,500, 1,600, 1,700. I feel like we can go a long way with this.
And it's also worth pointing out that UNC's remaining games are all now in the ACC.
Yes, at Duke, home to Virginia, at Syracuse, home to Notre Dame. They never beat Duke. I'm thinking Virginia. UNC has beat Duke. UNC's had this thing lately, you know, where they kind of get Duke in the regular season, you know, kind of, you know, nip at their heels a bit, but away in Durham, I don't, I don't see that.
And I mean, going on a 4-game losing streak before ACC play is the worst possible thing you could have done.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go to Duke. And look, again, Duke is first in the nation in defensive efficiency, and you haven't scored more than 10 goals in your last 5 games. Sorry, I forgot they only scored 9 against St. John's. UNC hasn't scored more than 10 goals since the Mercer game on February 28th.
Yikes!
And now you're going to up against maybe the number one defense in the country. Then you got Virginia. You also, yeah, that's a... But then, look, you're at Syracuse, and you're home to Notre Dame. Notre Dame can play defense, and... You know, if Syracuse can make the game in the dome a shootout, you know, yeah, you just don't see ways in which they can really turn this around. It just, I don't know. Yeah, look, they've done it in the past. Again, the last 2 years, you know, you didn't feel like you could happen, but the last 2 years they had the guys, you know, Steven Pontrello and Goldstock, you know, Pafani on the back end. And Brian Balkum made, you know, so many big saves during that 2016 run, and this year the goalies. I mean, Alex Basil looks okay. He's saving 51%, maybe, but Pazula.
That was his first game he started, Basil.
Yeah, I mean, they've played 3 goalies basically this year that I think have all started games at some point.
And if you have 3 goalies,
you don't have one. I don't see it. Look, I mean, they got a lot of talent coming in next year. You know, a huge recruiting class, probably best recruiting class in the country. Maybe that'll, you know, turn things around. But again, like I've been saying, it's worth pointing out this is 3 years now where really in the regular season, Carolina has been a completely average squad.
Yeah, they have a whole lot of holes to fill. Goalies, you mentioned, the faceoffs are blah. Other than maybe attack and maybe midfield. No.
I think they need more there. Cloutier's gone, so you really need a goal scorer.
Yeah. Matthews is a disher.
Yeah, I mean, this is good. You can use that, but I think you need more from him. Yeah. At midfield, you know.
Tanner Cook was kind of quiet. He's been quiet for the most part. Recently.
Perry and Cook are good pieces. You know, they're sophomores, making it better. But Timmy Kelly, you know, he is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can need more from there. You know, Alexander Trippi's a freshman. Maybe he can give you something. But I think they need more. I think they need another defenseman. You know, Jack Rowlett's good, but he's going to be a senior next year. You know, yep. So, yeah, I mean, they got holes on this roster, and they need to. And look, they recruit well, and they got a huge one coming in next year. Yeah, this is a roster really in need of replenishment.
Tanner Cook, since in the last 4 games, would you like to guess how many points he has?
Probably not good.
How about none?
Oh, my
God. Oh, I was going to guess like 5.
Ever
since the Hopkins game, he has a goal against Mercer, goal against St. John's, nothing against Denver, Hofstra, Richmond, Maryland.
Goodness.
So there you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's... And look, he's not a... He's, you know, got no points. Yeah, I mean, you're really just working with not a lot on... Again, it's not bad talent, but it's not, you know, elite talent, you know, and... If you want to win the national championship or you want to be in that conversation, you need a lead down. Right. And I presume since it's North Carolina, that is their goal.
All right. Before we get into Sunday's slate, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Safe got himself an autographed Hopkins helmet from Dave Petromala and a cool jacket.
Folks.
What a Rusev day.
Happy Rusev Day.
We will not have a WrestleMania standalone podcast, but we will have a Stanley Cup playoff one.
Unfortunately, to have the WrestleMania standalone podcast, there's also a Maryland Penn State game at that same time. You want to help me out, BTN? You know, maybe push it up like 2 hours.
Yeah, Joe Bettinati needs some extra time before the Caps playoff run.
Yeah, we can slide that in right like 5 o'clock. You know, I wouldn't be harmed.
All right, so Sunday we were treated to a nationally televised slop fest between Notre Dame and Ohio State, which Ohio State in the fourth quarter, I don't know what they were thinking half the time. But anyway, Notre Dame 9, Ohio State 8, Fighting Irish go to the horseshoe and grab a win, and Ohio State is sent into a perilous situation where this Saturday against Penn State is ultimately a must-win for any of their postseason hopes. Elsewhere, Drexel beats Providence 11-10 in double overtime. And in today's slate, Binghamton beats Siena 13-11. Have we mentioned about Cornell and the Big Red Machine? I hope I'm playing the right Kane theme.
Which one is it? His first one?
I don't know. It's the one that's burned.
Yes.
Really, Kane, really, Ryan. Like, wow, Kane's theme is burned. Amazing. Dude literally's from hell.
And he runs, and he runs for county, and he comes, and he runs for county office or mayor.
Most wrestling themed podcast we've had, yeah.
RIP Paul Bear.
But anyway, yeah. I mean, I generally associate the Big Red Machine with Pete Rose and the Cincinnati Reds, but there's also Kane, you know.
Oh, Kane! It's my best Paul Bear.
By God, it's Kane!
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Hey. It was better than my Jim Ross that I just dropped.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't. Was it Jim Ross or was it Vince on that one call? We're getting way too deep into wrestling now.
By God, that's Kane!
That's gotta be that's Kane!
That's not a good JR or Vince.
That was supposed to be Vince.
Okay, so Cornell beats Air Force 20-3-5 in Ithaca today. And in progress...
Air Force's Twitter account is really big on the platitudes. I just admire it.
Yeah, after every loss, it's just like, we gotta refocus! Put it in the past. Look at game film. Every loss, they have the best way to spin.
I love it.
Like,
love
it's
it.
On to the next good one. Good effort, Air Force.
Air Force.
You look, yeah, it's the right mentality to have. You lose, it's all right. On to the next one. Like that
mentality. Got your back.
Yep. That's how you roll in the military, so get that right mentality in. You'll be saving our nation from existential threats forever. And real threats.
Existential
and real threats. So like North Korea sending existential threats, like Kim Jong-un's doing a press conference. Oh, da-da-da-da-da. Like he always does. We'll be protected because of that Air Force mentality.
This is wonderful content.
This is great content.
So the Big Red win, 23-5. And in progress, Hobart is leading Canisius 18-8, so Hobart's going to win that one in a battle of the throughway. Battle of Western New York, because St. Bonaventure's not in the mix yet, so there's Western New York Derby as of right now is Hobart-Canisius. When St. Bonaventure is back up and running again, the Western New York Derby will be Canisius-St. Bonaventure.
My goodness, Ryan.
This is great.
So the Ohio, yeah. So before we go into the polls, that Notre Dame Ohio State game, we were commenting we haven't seen an Ohio State team under Nick Myers make that many mental mistakes because Notre Dame was handing them the game on a platter and they just weren't having any of it to take advantage of it and making really dumb mistakes like oh you get the ball back on a dumb Notre Dame shot and then you go off sides and. Other oddities.
Simple dropped passes.
Yeah.
I mean, just so much of it. I mean, yeah, look, I mean, this is not, you know, like, people, I think, you know, who, like, really thought I was just going to reload quickly, you know. No, they did lose a lot of guys from last year. But, you know, it's not easy to play with, but you only compound it when you just make the dumb mistakes they did. No, I mean, This was a game, you know, it's a big win for them if they could have got it. You know, you win this game, you have, you know, nice signature W, you know, going in to conference play, you know, and you can, you know, maybe you pull off a win over Rutgers or Hopkins or Maryland, and hey, you know, you're in the conversation. Now, I mean, they just look, like, Ohio State ultimately on offense has always kind of been shaky, even during their best years. Usually, they make up for the fact they have, like, one, you know, really great kind of, you know, all-around do-everything player. It used to be Jesse King. Last year was Eric Fennell. Like, I love Trey LeClair, but Trey LeClair's a goal scorer. You know, he's not going to, you know, carry the ball around his stick all the time and do everything. And they really made up for last year because they had Jake Withers. And so they could have the ball a lot. But this year, like against Notre Dame, what? They lost, like, they only won, what, five faceoffs? Four? And Notre Dame, you know, is not a great faceoff team. You know, so, I mean, yeah, you put in this fact, the fact that, you know, they've never really been great on offense and they're not good this year. And then they don't have a face-off, man. And again, just the simple, dumb errors that you just never see it of a Nick Myers team. Yeah, I don't feel good about this Ohio State team going into Big Ten play. You know, I think they get 3 out of 2 at, or 3 out of 5 Big Ten games at home.
That is correct. Yeah, Penn State, Michigan, Rutgers.
Yeah. You know, the two toughest ones on the road, Hopkins and Maryland. Or, I mean, I guess you could say Rutgers and Hopkins. You know, we'll see how they shake up this coming week. But yeah, I mean, like I'll say this. I'll flat out say, if that Michigan game was at Michigan, I would comfortably pick Michigan to win. You know, the only reason, same thing with the Penn State game. I think, you know, like the only reason I think you could have the Buckeyes in those games is because they're at home, because the Horseshoe's, you know, a difficult place to play. But yeah, you know, like if Penn State, I don't think Grant Amon's going to play. It seems that's still far way away. Like if he was playing, I think they would comfortably, I think they would, I think Penn State could, I mean, the way that Penn State's defense is, you know, they got a good defense. And if they can get the offense going this week, I think they could take care of the Buckeyes. But like if Grant Amon was playing, I don't think that game would be close. And, you know, we'll see where Michigan is in a couple weeks. Yeah, this to me looks like the worst team in the Big Ten. They look to me like, I'm not saying they'll go 0-5. I mean, they've looked poor really for what? I mean, six weeks in a row now. Jacksonville win by 1. They got lucky in that one. Lost to Marquette. Beat Detroit Mercy by 1. And the Towson lost the Denver game. This game. Yeah, this is 7-8, 6-7, and 8 the last 5 weeks in terms of goals scored. Well, the defense is good, but, I mean, when you don't have the ball, you don't really have the guys on offense. I don't like this Buckeyes team. You know, and I wish I could have liked Nick Myers a lot. And I think they'll be fine next year. You know, they're kind of an every other year team. I think they'll be good next year. And I'm still high on them in the future. But yeah, I mean, to go to the national championship game last year and fall back like this, that's disappointing.
All right, we'll move on to the media poll. Albany remains number 1. Maryland remains number 2, but there's a lot of shuffling from there on out. Denver moves up to 3, Yale at 4, Duke at 5. Johns Hopkins moves up to 6. Notre Dame slips down to 7 because of the loss to Michigan earlier in the week. Villanova stays put at 8. Rutgers moves up to 9. Syracuse jumps back into the top 10 at 10. Loyola out of the top 10 to 11. Virginia at 12. Cornell skyrockets up to 13. Robert Morris stays put at 14. Michigan enters the poll at 15. Vermont stays put at 16. Lehigh slips to 17. Bucknell gets up to 18. Harvard enters the poll for the first time this year at 19, and Army hangs on by a thread at 20. Also receiving votes, Penn State, Penn, Colgate, the reality TV stars, Georgetown, Towson, Navy, Hofstra, St. John's, the other reality TV stars, and Marquette. Do we want to bother with our own polls? Because who cares?
Yeah, take some pride in your
poll. Yeah, Ryan.
All right, we'll go on to the polls.
Coward.
Yep. All right. I'm going to start with mine. Top 4 are the same as everybody's. Well, pretty much everybody's, which is Ryan and Jake.
So safe.
Albany, Maryland, Denver, Yale 1-4. Yale at 4. Once again,
well,
Yale.
That's higher than 8.
That is higher than 8, or not ranking them at all. Johns Hopkins is at 5. Villanova is at 6. I have Duke falling to 7. Rutgers 8, Notre Dame at 9, and then Robert Morris 10.
You copied my poll again this week.
I did, and Syracuse guys apparently don't like me ranking Robert Morris ahead of them, even though me and Jake have said that their offense and defense have looked really good and statistically are really good, and the fact that they've been more consistent over Syracuse throughout this past season, and they played some really good teams, even though apparently some people think that Rutgers and Georgetown and Penn State aren't good. Well, that sucks for them. Still have them 10. Even also that some people think that I would be favoring Robert Morris over Syracuse if they played today. Probably not. Anyways, Loyola 11, Syracuse 12, Cornell 13. I have Virginia falling to 14. Michigan, actually, I forgot Virginia in my poll this week, which is interesting.
Mine did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are just splitting images of each other.
Oh, that's cute. I have Michigan at 15. Vermont, who I love, at 16. Lehigh at 17. I have the Harvard at 18. I will never say that again.
Please
Bucknell
don't.
Is at 19. And then Army West Point, the Cadets at 20. I almost put in St. John's, by the way.
Yeah. My God.
What a time to be alive.
Crazy year. All right, I'll go, I guess. I had, obviously, Albany 1, Maryland 2, Denver 3, Yale 4. I had Rutgers at 5. High on the Scarlet Knights. I mean, I think you really could interchange, you know, Rutgers, Hopkins, or those two. I had Hopkins 6. I had Villanova at 7 because it's the Fairfield game. Yeah, I mean, Fairfield's not a very good team, you know, beating them by one goal. You know, like, gave me a little pause. I had Duke drop down to 8. You know, just again, I haven't really been impressed with them in recent weeks, and they lost. Notre Dame at 9, Robert Morris at 10. Again, Robert Morris is just, I mean, they're trucking teams. You know, they've won 6 games in a row for like 6.5 goals. You know, I mean, that's good, you know. I mean, I would like to reward teams for winning games. You know, is their strength of schedule great? No, but this idea of, oh, they haven't played anybody, that's the stuff that gets you North Carolina ranked just because, you know, they lost to good teams. Like, no. No, I had Syracuse 11. Obviously, looks good. Cornell at 12. I'm off that, you know. Great win over Penn. Loyola at 13. You know, I mean, I couldn't drop them too far, but I'm really not very high on this team at the moment. You know, if they hadn't beaten Hopkins, they probably, I don't even know if they'd be in my pool. Michigan at 14. Obviously, you know, the great win over Notre Dame. They followed up with, you know, a just good, solid road effort against UMBC. You know, excited to see them against Maryland this week. That'll be an interesting game. Virginia falls to 15. You know, the way they're playing right now, you know, it just doesn't leave you, you know, happy at all. But they do have wins over Loyola. They also beat Princeton, but I mean, Princeton's not good, you know. But it's, and again, they played great for a half against Hopkins. You know, I don't want to punish them too much for losing by 2 goals to Hopkins, even if they played badly. So they're at 15. Vermont at 16, you know, they've looked a little shaky, you know, Binghamton's not a very good team, beating them by 4, but, you know, look, winning matters to me. I like to reward winning. Same with Harvard at 17, 7-1, you cannot deny a 7-1. Most people are like, they haven't played anybody. Yeah, well, they're 7-1, you know, they're beating who they're playing. Penn State at 18, Fairfield and Cleveland State aren't great opponents, but look, still 2 solid efforts, and, you know, I feel like, you know, I was thinking this the other day when you think about it with Penn State, they've really lost so many of their best players from last year, you know. Nick Apani and Grant Amant. I mean, Grant Amant hasn't played a game for Penn State this year. You know, so they lost Apani and Grant Amant. That's their 2 best players from last year, and they're both not playing. You know, and I hope Amant comes back, because I do think this Penn State, with him in the lineup, can really, you know, cause some trouble for folks. But, you know, they're back in there at 18. Lehigh at 19, obviously not a good effort. Look, if there were better teams in the back end of the top 20, I'm not sure I'd rank them, but they have a solid resume. So they're in the Bucknell at 20 off that solid win over Loyola. The Patriot League, you know, there's 3 Patriot League teams in the top 20, but it's really a byproduct of just, you know, you got to find a way to fill spots 15 through 20.
So my poll, same top 11 as Chris, because Chris likes to copy my poll, I guess. But then I have Cornell at 12 ahead of Syracuse at 13, because I think I'm a little bit more impressed with the big red than the orange. Vermont at 14, staying put. Michigan up to 15. Harvard at 16. Virginia down to 17. Penn State 18. Penn 19. Lehigh 20. Also considered Bucknell. And then we also have our survivor pool. Mix it up, everyone, the survival pool.
Everyone survived this week.
Yeah, everyone that was in it survived this week, which means Jim was eliminated by picking Maris, and of course Chris picked Delaware to beat Mercer in a week that Delaware lost 2 games in a row. And all of us were original this week. Everybody but Adam picked Cornell. I picked Cornell against Air Force, so I'm moving on. Everybody else picked Cornell against Dartmouth. And the one outlier is Adam, who picked Navy to beat Holy Cross.
Marissa didn't pick, so...
Yeah, Marissa didn't pick, but...
Is she eliminated?
We'll have to ask Safe.
Better get her to make a pick.
I know, she's got technically, I guess, till Saturday. Kind of, sort of.
Do we want
that? I don't know, because nobody's going to get eliminated if... So, we might as well eliminate her, right? Because we're never going to get anybody eliminated in this thing except for Chris.
Shout out Delaware.
Do we want to reveal the College Cross midseason All-American team?
Sure.
Yeah,
what the hell? For the content.
All right, this is your College Cross midseason All-American team. We submitted this to Inside the Cross for they assemble it from the media. I assume it'll come out in like the next week. So here we go. We did three teams. First team, Attack, Connor Fields, Albany, Jeff Teat, Cornell, Justin Gutterding, Duke. Midfield, Connor Kelly, Maryland, Joel Tinney, John Topkins, Dox Aiken, Virginia. Since this is a thing going around, yes, Connor Kelly is essentially an attackman. He doesn't come off the he doesn't leave the field. He doesn't play, you know, defense. He is essentially an attackman, but he's listed as a midfielder, and it kind of be unfair to someone like Jeff Teat, who's having an amazing year, to push him out because, you know, we want to put Kelly as an attackman. So we're putting him as a midfielder. Defense, Patrick Foley, Johns Hopkins, Bryce Young, Maryland, Foster Huggins, Loyola. Goalie, J.D. Colarusso, Albany. Faceoff, T.D. Earland, Albany. Short stick, D. Mitty, Zach Goodrich, Towson. Long stick, Mitty, John Sexton, Notre Dame. The second team, Attack, Ethan Walker, Denver, Pat Spencer, Loyola, Will Sands, Bucknell. Midfield, Brad Smith, Duke, Kyle McClancy, Albany, Christian Mazzoni, Rutgers. Defense, Johnny Sertic, Army, Chris Keating, Yale, Chris Sabia, Penn State. Goalie, Alex Tager, Robert Morris. Faceoff, Trevor Baptiste, Denver. Short stick, D. Mitty, Ryan Tarfanko, Ohio State. And long stick, Mitty, Craig Chick, Lehigh. Then the third team, Attack, Ben Reeves, Yale, Jules Hangberg, Rutgers, Michael Sowers, Princeton. Midfield, Brett Noseworthy, Michigan, Ian McKay, Vermont, J.J. Powell, Loyola. Defense, Ben Randall, Ohio State, Dylan Gaines, Denver, Scott Hooper, Virginia. Goalie, Nick Washuda, Vermont. Faceoff, Hunter Moreland, Johns Hopkins. Short stick, D. Mitty, Danny Jones, Johns Hopkins. And long stick, Mitty, Sean Mayall, Denver.
And congratulations to all that have been honored on the only incorrect midseason All-American list.
Yes,
congratulations to all that are named. You'll get a you'll get internet press as your reward, I guess.
And a round of applause from me.
Good job.
Great reward. You're not getting paid anything because this is the NCAA. you'll be going pro in something other than lacrosse because the MLL doesn't pay enough. on that note, shall we look into this week's games?
Sure.
Why the hell not?
Okay. So tomorrow we got a pretty good one. Harvard at Albany, 7 o'clock, ESPN3. Pretty solid midweek game, so if I say so myself. And then Happy Hour Lacrosse is back, 5 o'clock ESPNU. It's the Tobacco Road Derby as North Carolina heads to Durham to play Duke. Critical ACC game there, Duke. Coming up, currently 0-1 in ACC play, whereas UNC is on a four-game losing streak. Something has to give. And then, probably the game of the year in the NEC at 7 on NEC front row. Bryan at Robert Morris, 7 o'clock. So, if you don't have any plans for Friday, got a good doubleheader of lacrosse up ahead. Then Saturday, Big Ten play begins as Maryland heads up to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. That'll be at noon on Big Ten Network before Big Ten Network goes on all-day Michigan Final Four mode because you need all that pregame show before TBS's pregame show. Jacksonville at High Point at noon. Villanova at Marquette in the Big East at noon once again. Villanova, if you need a lacrosse digression before you get all nervous over your Final Four game, that's for you. So Villanova-Marquette at noon. So, yes, half the Final Four in basketball has lacrosse schools. Canisius at Marist. Can't beat 2 years ago, though, when you had three. But Canisius at Marist at noon. Hampton at VMI at noon. Fairfield at Delaware at noon. Mount St. Mary's at noon. Mount St. Mary's at Sacred Heart at noon. In the Patriot League, Bucknell at Army at noon, which could only mean one thing, and that's probably Army beating Bucknell because Bucknell won and Army lost. So we'll see about that. Holy Cross at Navy at noon, Vermont at Hartford at 1, Cornell at Dartmouth at 1, Monmouth at Siena at 1, Quinnipiac at Detroit Mercy at 1, St. John's at Providence in the Big East at 1, Towson and Hofstra opens up Colonial play also at 1. We're getting the theme here because of the Final Four in the evening, by the way. So we won't blame you for a lack of Saturday night lacrosse, ADs. St. Joe's at Wagner, Philly versus New York, baby, 1 o'clock. UMass at Drexel at 1. Air Force at Bellarmine at 1. Loyola at Colgate at 1. Binghamton at Lafayette at 1. Princeton at Brown at 1. Furman at Mercer at 1. And then Big East play, 3 o'clock. Denver at Georgetown. That's a 1 o'clock Mountain start in D.C., so no use of hashtag body clocks for this one. At the same time on ESPNU, Penn State at Ohio State. That one faces off at 3 in Columbus. Richmond at Virginia at 3 on ACC Network Extra. Penn at Yale at 3:30. I cannot wait for Ivy League Digital Network to probably make that their charged game rather than the free game, because Ivy League Digital Network logic is backwards. Lehigh at BU is also at 3:30 on the free Patriot League Network. Stony Brook at Albany, the SUNY Derby at 4 on ESPN3. UMBC at UMass Lowell at 4, also on ESPN3. Stony Brook Albany is at 4 as well. Manhattan at NJIT at 4. And on ESPNU at 5, if you're not in the mood for basketball, there's Notre Dame at Syracuse in ACC play.
Saturday evening lacrosse.
Yes. I mean, yes, it's completely going up against the Final Four. I remember my senior year when Syracuse was in the Final Four. They had the gall to schedule a Syracuse-Princeton game at the exact same time as the Final Four. Granted, Syracuse basketball was in the later game against Michigan. But by the way, Syracuse-Princeton women, Thursday night, ESPN3, 5 o'clock. John Nolan Darby. Sunday night lacrosse makes its return to Big Ten Network this Sunday at 7.
Time to be alive.
Happy Easter.
Sunday night.
Uncle Jimmy.
Who needs Jesus Christ Superstar on NBC when you could watch Johns Hopkins at Rutgers at 7 on Big Ten Network?
Oh, Sunday night.
By the way, you know damn well they're going to know that Carrie Underwood champion song is going to be brought back for the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
Let's just not talk about it.
And then Tuesday, we have Lafayette at Monmouth at 3. The Northern Finger Lakes Derby, the battle for the Krauss-Simmons Trophy as Hobart.
The what?
The Krauss-Simmons Trophy.
The Northern
heard of
what?
Derby?
The Northern Finger Lakes Derby.
The Northern Finger Lakes Derby.
Wow.
Hobart at Syracuse, 7 o'clock.
I know Hobart-Syracuse is a rivalry. I'm just...
Look it up in a map. The Northern Finger Lakes Derby. Hobart-Cornell's the Finger Lakes Derby. This is the Northern Finger Lakes Derby. So you know how like Arsenal-Chelsea's the London Derby, but Arsenal-Tottenham's the North London Derby? Well, anyway, the only trophy that Syracuse Athletics plays for against Hobart, 7 o'clock. That game always gets nutty. And then the longer LIE Derby. The longer LIE Derby. There's St. John's Hofstra's the LIE Derby, but St. John's and Stony Brook are closer to the LIE than Hofstra is. So the other LIE Derby, St. John's at Stony Brook, 7:30. That one will be streaming. And just in case we don't get this done, if we don't record until next Wednesday, Bucknell at Yale at 4 in an interesting non-con.
That'll be a fun game.
Yeah.
All right, so let's first do our upset special.
Okay.
Oh, baby.
Well, since Saif isn't here, in honor of him, let's see what we do.
You can bury Duke or you can bury Yale. It's up to you. You're safe right now.
No, okay. This is difficult. This just came to my head. I know we didn't mention this, and it's not relevant at all, but since Ryan ranked Providence 20 after they beat St. Joe's 4-3, they've lost 5 games in a row.
Yep.
He wouldn't listen to me. God, what is an upset pick this week?
Yeah, this week's a little weird.
I'm going to go and interrupt you, Jake. Colgate over Loyola.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Goodness. This is tricky. I can't say Syracuse Notre Dame because that's just lame. You know,
that's like a safe upset pick.
Yeah, the pick'em game. I'm gonna go with the number 8 team over the
11 team to beat the number 17. Yeah, that's just.
While you're still thinking, I'm gonna go Rutgers over Hopkins.
That's not an upset.
That's not an upset either.
Rutgers will be favored probably.
All right, then never mind that one.
According to Syracuse manager logic, that's not me. Hopkins is the favored team, and Rutgers is not because
I can't imagine rankings. Like Rutgers is good.
Yeah, and they're not ranked higher than Hopkins, even though they're home. But yeah, Rutgers should be the favorite. So,
this is the only one I really can think of. I'll go Army over Bucknell.
I was also thinking the same thing, Army. I will also say Army over Bucknell because Patriot League. But you know what? If I have to be original, I notice a theme that we're all sticking with the Patriot League. So how about Holy Cross over Navy just because? And also because Adam picked them too.
Why not?
Why not? It's the Patriot League. All right, so let's do a quick pick.
I also think maybe Richmond over Virginia because Virginia loves to play down to their opponents.
Yeah, that could be a possibility. Also, Brian over Robert Morris might happen too, but Robert Morris has kind of been firing on all cylinders. So let's get into pick 'em, I guess. Harvard, Albany. I'll go with Albany.
Yeah, thanks.
Albany.
Duke UNC, baby! I'm going with Duke.
Duke.
Give me Duke. Give me the free fall of UNC to continue.
Okay, Brian Robert Morris, as I explained, I was kind of considering Brian, but I'll go with Robert Morris. I think Bobby Moe's just been on too hot of a roll.
If Bobby Moe can take down Brian decisively, this team should coast their way in the NCAA tournament.
I'm taking Robert Morris on a Friday night SmackDown edition of lacrosse.
Maryland, Michigan, I'm going to go with the Terps, but that could be a tricky one. Trap game written all over it.
Good game. It's not a trap game. I wouldn't say it's a trap game. You think John Tillman is going to take his former assistant lightly?
No.
Yeah. Like, it'll be a good game. And seeing Connery and Tillman match up will be fun. But I'm going to go with the Terps.
I like Maryland in this one as well.
Villanova Marquette, I'm going Nova.
You know, this is going to be closer. This is going to be close. I'll take Nova. But, yeah, this could be. I mean, like, if Villanova can come out here and stomp Marquette, I'll be impressed. You know, that'll be a good sign for them. But I got a feeling this is close. I'll go with Nova, though.
Let's get weird. That's Marquette's season so far, and I like Marquette to make it even weirder on Saturday with a win.
That should be your upset special, though.
Well, I can't have more than one upset special.
That's true. Yeah. But, like, that's a better pick than Colgate Loyola.
Bucknell Army, as I said, why not Army?
Yeah, Army. I guess. I don't know. I hope Bucknell wins.
I'm going to go Bucknell. Screw you guys.
Let's see. Denver, Georgetown. I'm going Denver because Georgetown's doing their free falling thing.
Denver.
Penn State, Ohio State, the game that could dictate who makes the Big Ten tournament and who doesn't.
Penn State.
Penn State loses for their second straight time in the Scholastic season at Ohio Stadium. I like the Buckeyes.
I'm going to go Penn State in that one. Richmond, Virginia, I'll go with Virginia in a close one, but it's not going to look pretty.
Yeah, same.
Yep.
Penn-Yale. I'm going to go Yale.
Yale, beat down. Well, probably not beat down, but, you know, 4 or 5.
It's going to be another close game. I think Yale wins by 1.
Notre Dame, Syracuse.
You know, if we could get a full game out of Ryder Garnsey, I'd probably go with the Irish. But that doesn't seem to be happening. So I think Nick Mellon will lock down whoever he goes up against. I think Syracuse can kind of keep this going. I'll go with the Orange.
Also of note, we are not honoring a team from the past. So in this case, I'm going to go Syracuse.
Is there a doubleheader with the Syracuse women, though? Are they,
yeah,
Ryan, are they honoring the inaugural 2008
Ryan,
women's team?
Just pick the dang game.
I'm going to go with, it's going to be a close one. Give me Notre Dame in a close one. I think.
Wow.
Ryan, it's Syracuse. If it's a close game, they're going to win.
I think Syracuse is definitely on the right direction. And as I said, you guys were laughing at me with the wait till the Cornell game thing. So, but even still, I think they're in good shape with the Duke game. But I think Notre Dame,
we still do.
You know, Notre Dame, I think, has a little bit more of a sense of urgency of having to rack up another big win. They generally show up at the Dome. So give me the Irish in like a one or two goal game. Hopkins, Rutgers, I said Rutgers.
Yeah, I mean, Rutgers is good at home. They play well at home. You know, they're a tough team to play against. I think this is going to be a really good game. I think both of these teams are great teams. I think both will have, you know, very good seasons. But, yeah, I'll take the Scarlet Knights by one. Maybe in overtime.
Oh. In honor of safe, I'm going to go Hopkins.
In honor of safe. Wow. There's too much. I'm telling you, what happened to the rivalry? We thought we had it back.
Yeah, it was also an 18-7.
Too much camaraderie now, too. And then just for S's and G's, because it's always a throw out the record book game, Hobart at Syracuse, I'm going with Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Get your eggs ready! Give me Syracuse!
Dear God.
Alrighty, instead of ending it right there, we haven't done a great digression in a while, and because tonight, they're, for God knows what reason, bringing back Roseanne. Like, the show where you can't make a reboot out of it. You went out there and said in your final episode that it was all fanfic and John Goodman's character's dead. We decided to play a little game here of making the worst possible endings for hit television shows on the air now. So, Jake and I were discussing this last night, and he had a good one for Game of Thrones because we don't like it, but everybody else does.
Yes, so our way of ending Game of Thrones, if we were booking
it, yes.
Which we should.
Yes, you have one idea and I have the other. You go with yours because it's better, though.
All right, so mine was, like, the last scene is that it's revealed that Game of Thrones actually takes place in, like, Middle Ages England. And the King of England shows up and has everyone killed because this shit has just gone way too out of hand. And it's gone way too far. And so he's like, you know what? I gave you guys a chance, but y'all just did way too much boning and way too much killing. And this is just not good, responsible Catholicism. And so, or Anglicanism, whatever England is, we are just going to have all of you killed, except for the little short dude, because I feel like you're useful.
And he could be Oliver Cromwell's assistant or something, and then the Irish will kill him. I don't know.
Yep. So that's it. Just, you know, this crap just got way too out of hand, and the King of England just has everyone killed.
Mine was that the short guy, Tyrone, ends up winning the Game of Thrones or whatever the thing is. Everybody else is dead. He's alive. The Dragon Queen, like, is like the last character that's defeated before he wins it or whatever, just to get everybody all angry online. That's the whole goal of this, is to get people mad online.
Oh, and the last line of mine is that the king turns like whoever's assistant is and is like, and I thought the Scots were bad.
Yeah. Okay, so then in my situation, it goes all Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and then a police crew comes, arrests everybody, end of the show, to a black screen for 4 minutes. The whole process of this exercise is to get people mad online.
Yes.
We were also discussing before the show, The Walking Dead, whatever the people who do that show do will be.
I don't think any of you even watch it anymore.
I know, but whatever the people that run that show, they'll find the worst possible scenario for that anyway, so that's totally fine. I was also thinking, because Jake and I's favorite punching bag, This Is Us, my best possible way to make everybody angry at the ending is that it turns out...
Is that they're all fake and this isn't us?
Somewhat. It's that the father that dies, that everybody knew was going to die, ends up being the only one alive and is writing fanfic a la Roseanne, and everybody else died in the fire, And he keeps on just doing all these flashbacks to when he quote-unquote died and making references to when he dies and putting everybody on edge to just put himself as a Mary Sue or whatever they call the author, putting himself at the forefront of the story all the time. It'll be completely emotionally scarring.
He's just gone way too paranoid.
Yes. But then you're going to see the episode where what really happens in the series finale during that to make, because this show's all about emotional manipulation. So go on from there.
He finally dies.
He dies, and you see how everybody else tragically perishes.
Six feet under,
except
for the last episode, which is literally just everyone dies.
Some of them in 2063, but
yeah, because we just need to show you everyone dies.
Half of them, three quarters of them, from natural causes. what other shows can we come up with terrible endings? I mean, Roseanne's just going right off the bat, like, hey, we're coming back. In the first episode, we're doing what every other show on television is doing with the 2016 election. Can't wait for the This Is Us 2016 election episode.
Actually, I can wait.
I know we can wait, but Chris, do you have any terrible ideas?
This was good banter, guys.
Well, I was gonna go with the Game of Thrones and have, you know, all the dragons unite and just burn everybody alive.
That's good because every character is awful. That's a good idea. Who needs humans?
Yeah, you have dragons.
Dragons are the best part. What about that random Voldemort ripoff guy? Like, what if he's like the only one that survives because everybody hates him or whatever?
Who's the Voldemort ripoff guy?
I have no idea. How about one of the NCIS spinoffs? Last episode, it's because government cutbacks. They don't need the NCIS office in New Orleans anymore.
Just like the last season, just in a boardroom. Well, folks, we're just going to have to let you go.
Budget cuts. The New Orleans office of NCIS. Like, the Navy has any presence in New Orleans whatsoever. Or Los Angeles, the noted waterfront city of Los Angeles.
Where it literally never rains.
They say it never rains in California.
I have one. Madam Secretary, she decides to resign because she doesn't like the presidency. She wants to, like, I don't know, write books.
And it's revealed that she writes books about Donald Trump.
Everything connected to the 2016 election.
Everything. We will never move on from 2016.
No, I'm trying to think. Others.
The Big Bang Theory, they all get evicted from their apartment.
Oh, no. I was going to say Big Bang Theory, it all turns out that they're Reddit Nazis or something like that, and the girl kicks them all out and shames them for being horrible people.
Alt-right trolls.
Yes.
Are they all kick the what is it, Raj, the Indian dude out? Because they're alt-right trolls.
What about some prestige television shows that we can't stand? How would we end them?
Now that's Game of Thrones right there. This Is Us. Those are the two prestige.
What about Billions?
Don't even know what that is.
What is Billions?
It's a terribly written show that tries to take itself so seriously on Showtime.
The Great Depression happens again and they all lose their money.
That's good.
I'm trying to think of other ones. Modern Family, it ends where
that show's still going on?
Yeah.
Wait,
I mean, that show's got to have a happy ending, so I don't know. They all go on a vacation. It'll be a lame episode. Nice.
That's a good way to end this podcast. They all go on vacation.
They all go on
the
vacation.
The Titanic happens again.
No. That's how we end young Sheldon. We find out that he's an orphan or something. I don't know.
That's a good idea. Good stuff. Brian said this was going to be a top five Crosscats, and I don't think it was that good. But no. I think we had good stuff tonight.
It's some good stuff.
I think we had a good high.
Let's quit
while we're ahead.
Alrighty, so on that note, thank you for listening. You can follow us along, subscribe to us, Google Play and iTunes. You can get every episode of College Crosscast. Safe's got another podcast that's going to drop tomorrow as well, so we'll have that up. You can also subscribe to Chris's Across College Across, where we basically end up repeating the same things he says the day before. That's okay. With a more original brand. You can follow us, Facebook, College Cross, Instagram, that never gets updated, college_cross. And you can follow us on Twitter, at college_cross, and I'm at RyanMcD29.
I'm at CF Jastrzemski.
At ATVS_JKZR.
And Safe's no longer public on Twitter, so we're not giving away his name anymore. Doing private
ones. The end of an era.
So yeah, we'll be back next week to recap these games. Hopefully Villanova doesn't win the national title, so we don't have to have you have Chris and Safe pretend that Villanova's part of the city of Philadelphia and not in the suburbs.
Still is.
And oh, by the way, we're getting, if we have Jake on again next week, we'll have a WrestleMania preview.
I mean, we already sort of did this week, so I can't imagine how far we go next week.
And then don't forget, we're about 2 weeks away from the NHL Stanley Cup playoff preview podcast, where don't listen to
any more production. This is the proper time for me to gloat. When I was on here in September, and Ryan told me I was an idiot for thinking Vegas could make the playoffs. Yeah, Ryan, what happened?
Well, they made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs. Sweet Golden Knights. Ba-ba-ba.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that, Ryan? I mean, they were better than even I thought they would be, but still, I think I should get credit for this one.
Yes, you get all the credit for that one.
What other bad predictions did we make?
I can't even remember.
The Blackhawks.
Oh, I picked Edmonton.
The Oilers.
The Western Conference.
Oh, line. Everyone picked the Edmonton Oilers.
That was a bad one.
I mean, I think I picked
the
Penguins.
Did we pick a coach, the first coach that would be fired?
I can't remember.
Have there even been a coach that's been fired?
No, there hasn't been any fires.
Wow.
So we have that to
look
forward
to. Credit. We motivated the Winnipeg Jets to finally step up, and they have stepped up.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We were like, the time is now. And, well, yeah, Jets are great. Jets might win the cup.
I am so hyped for a Jets-Preds playoff series.
Oh, my God. Great.
Injected into my body.
Yes. All right.
All right, so we're wrapping it up now. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Stay hydrated.
Yep.
And remember... Bye. Reality is an illusion. The universe is a hologram. Bye, gold. Bye. Stay hydrated.